All right. So glad y'all are here. Awesome presence of God, Brandon, and just I love it. I'm telling you, in that time of just worshiping Him, that quietness, I promise you, that's when the Holy Spirit, when we invite Him in, Holy Spirit comes in and works in our hearts and lives. I'm telling you, come in here and you're needing an answer to some problem or situation or direction in something, and then a family issue, a job issue or something. I'm telling you, right while you're sitting in the presence of God, He can download that answer into your heart and show you exactly what you need to do. Sometimes He gives you the words to speak, and sometimes He'll tell you, no, you don't say a word. You know, you just go and do what you need to do. And so awesome. I love the Lord. Hallelujah. So His presence is here. And Brandon, that's a high voltage area down there you were standing in. So, all right. Well, we're going to take our word from the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. Paul wrote this letter to the believers in Ephesus, and they were called the Ephesians. So let's look at chapter 6. We've kind of been on off and on here for a few weeks. Chapter 6, and we're going to look at three verses talking about the armor of God. Wherefore, take ye unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. How many know we are in evil days? The days are bad. A lot of stuff happening. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And then here's verse 15, and that's what we're going to land on today. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Title of my message today is Prepare for the Battle, Put Your Shoes On. Would you look at somebody, tell them, put their shoes on. All right. How many of you love shoes? It'd be terrible not to have any shoes. Yeah. How many enjoy shopping for shoes? Mm-hmm. How many just enjoy shopping in general? I found the easy way. I go right to Amazon. And I'm telling you, that solves it all right there.
And would say, go to Walmart.
There you go. I can shop online at Walmart, because everything I've been ordering has been wrong, or I don't get it, or whatever. All right. Well, let's look at this. Roman soldiers did not have to shop for their shoes. Their footwear was specially made for each soldier, and their shoes were far from being just an humble sandal. The shoe of a Roman soldier was one of the most high-tech and adaptable pieces of equipment that he owned. The soles were made from layers of metal and leather. And the sole also could have spikes of varying lengths attached to allow the soldier to grip, just like the spikes for the football players. Some even came with toe spikes and spurs to allow the shoe to have offensive capability. Understand that Nike and Reebok and Adidas, they would have had nothing on these shoes for sure. They had a detachable armor piece to protect the shin and the knee. Another metal covering protected the top of the foot. History tells us that the invincibility of the Roman army depended on their ability to engage in battle, as well as to travel quickly. These shoes, or these boots that they wore, were called caligae. Those shoes that were worn by the ordinary soldiers were so essential that these soldiers came to be known as the caligati. The caligati. And a man by the name of Germanicus was the adopted son of the Emperor Tiberius, Germanicus is wheat. And Tiberius, and he was one of Rome's most beloved generals. And when he was amongst the soldiers, he began to put the Caligae on his young son, Gaius, who was appropriately nicknamed then Little Boots, which history says that he hated as he grew older. He hated that name. So when the boy later then became emperor himself, he was known not by his formal name, but by his nickname, Caligula. Caligula. And he was very ruthless, very bad, very bad emperor. So Paul uses then this image of the soldier's shoes to talk about standing against the enemy. When fighting, a soldier needed good footing, because if he slipped and fell, then his enemy, we know, could finish him off. So we are really talking then about having traction for action today. Can you say that with me? Traction for action. A soldier is not ready for battle or prepared for action if his footwear gives him no traction or if it does not give him any protection. Paul says this foot readiness, this traction, and this protection helps you stay on your feet. Watch this now. It comes from the gospel, the good news of peace. And the main thought is simply today, how does the gospel of peace then protect you? How does this gospel, this good news of peace, keep you from slipping and falling in battle or losing ground to the enemy? And what exactly is this good news of peace? Well, I want to break it down for us today. So let's take a look this morning at just how peace then prepares you for battle. Here is what we could say, that there are four progressions of peace that will help us better understand what it means to be prepared by peace. Number one, if you want to write it down, it's just simply peace with God. Would you say that with me? Peace with God. Today there is a cry for peace from practically every nation in the world. Right now we see what's happening with Ukraine and what's happening and watching what Russia is doing. Yet we know the globalists are poking the bear, if you please. Because why? Because they do want a war. There is going to be a third world war. The Bible tells us about it. And it's not the Battle of Armageddon, but there is coming a war, a third war. So they want it because they finance both sides of a war, and they make lots of money. People are wondering, why is there so much antagonism and animosity and anger in the world today? And maybe you've heard or asked the question, why can't we all get along? Well, that sounds awful good, but ignores the fact that human beings in general, guess what, are not basically good. Without a change of heart that comes from being at peace with God, we are basically a selfish people who will go to great lengths to get what we want, regardless of who we hurt along the way. That's the way of the world. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. It means completeness and wholeness and to be at rest, everything about your life. The Greek word that used by Paul, though, here is irene. Irene, it means to join together that which has been separated. You see, Paul has already spoken about his readers having been separated from God in the past. Our text is from Ephesians chapter 6, but back over in Ephesians 2, Brandon read one of the verses, but in Ephesians 2 and 12, he writes this, "Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, without hope." How many know we all need hope? and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself, verse 14, he himself is our peace. When you skip down to verse 17, he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. So the word for preached here is a special word that is used for proclaiming the gospel. Jesus came and announced the good news of peace to those who were at odds with God. The good news was through the man Christ Jesus. God was not going to hold their sins against them. If they rejected that good news, they rejected its work in their lives, that being forgiveness and cleansing, which brought them then into God's favor. Paul tells us as well in Romans 5 and 1, he says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Churches use different words to describe what happens when a person finds peace with God. Some call it salvation. Others say getting saved. Some say conversion or getting right with God or being born again or finding Christ, etc. Whatever you call it, guess what? Every person in this world needs it. Our neighbors, our co-workers, our family members close to us and far away. If they want to find the reason they were put on this planet, then the first step is knowing God in a close and personal way. We need to have peace with God if we want to have life that goes on and on, even after our time on this earth is over. Can I just tell you this morning, peace with God changes us. Peace with God changes our standing. It changes our character. It changes our attitude. It changes our outlook on life. But we don't look at things the way we used to look at it. Peace with God changes our motivation, Sister North. We don't live for God. We don't live for God based on guilt and condemnation and fear. We don't serve Him because we're afraid to go to hell. We praise Him because we love Him and we want to be with Him. Rather, it's based on gratitude. We're thankful for His mercy. We're thankful for His grace. We're thankful for His goodness. We're thankful for His love. Guess what? He brought us out of darkness into a marvelous light. That's what the Bible says. He brought us out of that miry clay. He set us upon the rock to stay. And that rock is Jesus Christ. We are at peace with Almighty God. We no longer have to try to appease Him to avoid His wrath. Jesus took care of that once and for all. Peace with God changes our convictions. Listen now, we don't budge when the enemy attacks. Are you hearing what I said? We stand our ground. We don't cower down with fear when fear comes knocking at our door. We can stand strong in the midst of the storm when the winds of adversity come because of our peace with God. And guess what? Storms do come. We really can stand and say no to the temptations of the world. We can stand strong in our convictions and not give in to compromise. And those temptations, believe me, they do come by every means possible. And the best thing about peace with God is that it is readily available to anyone at any time. And if you don't have peace with God, I want to tell you, you can get it today. You don't have to place an order. You don't have to get on a waiting list. You don't have to sit forever in a drive-thru. No purchase necessary because the price has already been paid by Jesus Himself when He died for our sins and for my sins and yours. Those who have peace with God know where they stand, and they stand firm. Peace with God allows you then to dig in and keep fighting. Getting up to fight another day. And it's all because greater is He who is in you and in me than the enemy who is out there in the world. I love this verse found just before the last book of the Bible. It's in the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 24. It says, "To Him who is able to keep you from falling." I know that person. I know that. "And to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy." God has given us then the shoes of peace so we can stand firm, knowing that He is standing with us in the midst of the trouble that Jesus says is going to come on the earth. He's able to keep us then from falling. Thank you, Lord. Some people fall from discouragement. Some people fall from forgetting the blessings of peace from God Himself. Some fall from feelings of guilt and unworthiness, thinking that God is not at peace with them. Others fall for various reasons, but they all have one thing in common. They lose their peace. How sad is that? The God of peace is able to keep us from falling if we stand firm in His grace and we stay connected with Him, Brandon. And that's done by taking the time to talk to Him, Brother Tony, reading His Word and then trusting Him with your life. And yes, staying connected to the body of Christ. You've got to understand, the longer you stay away from gathering together with fellow believers, the easier it becomes.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
And that's not a good thing. We need each other. Yes. We need each other. I need you. Let's look at the next area of peace then that flows out of the first one. From number one, the peace with God, comes number two, the peace of God. The peace of God. There's a difference. When we have peace with God and are no longer separated from Him because of our unclean lives and our offenses that were against Him, then we will have a peace within our own hearts and our minds. God's peace, listen, will help you be at peace with yourself. If you don't know it already, you will in time. And that is, ugly things can happen in this life. Did you know that? Ugly things can happen in all of our lives. Let me just ask you a question. How do you feel when someone does or says something that hurts you? I think a lot of us have been there. Of course, the answer is, in the flesh, if we get hurt, and invariably if we're not careful, the flesh takes control, so that when we get hurt, the first thing we want to do, guess what? What is the world's way? To get even. To get even. Let me read you a story. There was the story of one of our Marines who found himself on the front lines in Afghanistan. And he received a letter from his fiancée. And she told him that there was someone else now in her life, and she had decided to break it off with the soldier so she could go with this other man. She told him to send her picture back so she could give it to her new beau, the story says. B-E-A-U. Beau. Okay, new beau. Boyfriend, her new boyfriend. Can you imagine, just a moment with me, how hurt this Marine was? He was already in the worst place in the world to be. He was in the worst situation to be in. And he receives then the worst news of his adult life. So after a few days of grieving, he came up with a plan. He got every one of his buddies to give him the picture of their girlfriends. And it happened to be that there was about 30 in that group. I don't know if it's a platoon or what that is, but this. He then put them all in a box, and he included a letter to his former fiance. And here's what he wrote. "I got your letter about breaking up with me and how you wanted me to send your picture back to you. I must say that I'm a little embarrassed. I would love to do as you requested, but for the life of me, I cannot really remember who you were." Go on to finish the letter. "Here are some of the pictures I have, and I'm sure your picture is in there somewhere. Would you go through them, take your picture out, and send the rest back to me?" Woo, that's the end of the story, and we could say, boy, he got her good, didn't he? But in reality, why is it that when we get hurt, the first thing we want to do is get even? As if hurting someone else will somehow magically make our hurt go away. Understand that when we get hurt, we become our most vulnerable, because instead of keeping our mind on what we are doing, it only focuses on what we are going through. And if a person happens to be in a dangerous area, such as a war zone, guess what? Their mind needs to be fully focused on what they are doing. Now, we may not be in a physical war right here in a war zone, yet nonetheless, guess what? We are in a spiritual war between good and evil. So we see some of those ugly things happen to us through no fault of our own, due to someone else's sin and someone else's selfishness. We may be left then with inner wounds and ugly scars that make us feel then unloved and unvalued. Or perhaps you've gone through deep sorrow and had a major disappointment that was not really anyone's fault, but it still hurts. Let me tell you that God's heart aches for you in the midst of your pain, but not from a distance. The only distance that exists between us and God is the distance that we put there ourselves. Are you hearing me today? Listen, He cares so very much how we feel, and He wants to bring His soothing, healing peace into our hearts. So when we have peace with God, we can know the peace of God in our lives. In the New Testament book written by Paul called Philippians, he talks about the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Watch this, verse 7. "And the peace of God, which passes or transcends all understanding, will keep you, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We're talking about the peace of God. Do you need something this morning? Ask for it with thanksgiving, trusting God that He's going to do what He has promised in His Word to do. And yes, He has promised to take care of us, His children, because He loves us and He desires to do for us. Talking especially to the grandparents, most of the parents have learned they keep their the billfold closed up. But for this grandpas and grandmas, you know, when they come and ask for something, you know, we open up our pockets, you know, seems to be. After a while, we may have to kind of limit it a little bit, but we know. Amen? One of Satan's tactics is he loves to attack our minds and he loves to attack our emotions. But the peace of God is greater than our own self-hating or even our fearful hearts. And the peace of God, of God will guard how we think and how we feel as we stay close to Him. Peace with God leads to having the peace of God within us. And when we are at peace with God and of whom we are in, we're going to find then another step in the progression of peace. So from having peace with God, resulting in having the peace of God, then comes number three. Here it is. And that is peace with others. Peace with others. If the devil can get us to fight with one another, he knows it will affect our walk with Christ. It will affect our ability to stand firm against Him. Remember what Paul said in verse 12 of Ephesians 6. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Satan is out to steal your peace so you don't have shoes to stand firm in. If he can stir up strife and break the unity in our families, at our jobs, even here in church. Listen, God has given us the unity that He has given us with one another as members of His family. Then guess what? If He can divide us, He wins the round. And guess what? It is a tactic that He has tried over and over on this body from our inception. And next Saturday, March the 5th, will be our anniversary. Oh, wow. But we have stood the test of time, and guess what, Sister North? We're still standing. Hallelujah. We're still standing. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What, 27 years? 1995. 27 years. No wonder Paul wrote what he did in chapter 4 of Ephesus. Of Ephesians, verse 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. He's talking about relationships with believers. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul tells his friends to work out their differences and get along with each other. Here's what he wrote. Stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead, this is from chapter 4 of Philippians. Stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. And I plead with Eudia, and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help those women who have contended at my side, worked with me, in the cause of the gospel. Apparently, there were differences between these two particular saints, and it was threatening the unity of that church family. And Paul says specifically to work it out. So it does take effort to be at peace with others. How many know that? Quite often, the problem comes back to not really being at peace with ourselves. Fear of losing something or being slighted, listen, can cause us to lash out at others and disturb the peace that God has given us. Selfishness, guess what? It disturbs the peace within us because it is contrary to God's nature who lives in us. In the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Understand then that there is an untold number of desires that may surface in our human heart. And often we may not see them for the threat that they really are. Even the desire of affirmation and acceptance can lead us then to do or say things that do not honor God or build up others. So the question is, what can we do to have peace with others? How about, first of all, reaffirm that you are at peace with God? That's the very first thing. And if you've allowed sin to creep into your heart or your life, you confess it and you turn away from it. And then you ask God to give you what you need. If you need encouragement, let God encourage you with His amazing love. Find your value from Him, not from the opinions of others. Can you say amen? Ask God to help you to see others the way that He does. Work at something. Work at finding something positive and valuable about the person you are having difficulties with. And then begin to pray blessings on them. And you say, oh, come on, Pastor, really? Can imagine praying blessings over that person? Because you see, it is hard, listen to this, it is hard to be mad at someone you're praying good things for. Amen. Something has to change. If you keep doing that, something's going to give. Amen. If you're messed up in your thinking, guess what? God's going to show you. And if it's on the other side, listen, He knows just how to work it out. So we've talked primarily about relationships with those in God's family. But guess what? These principles apply to all human relationships. Amen. Let's close today with one more progression of peace. And that is, watch us now, by turning our focus outward. Turning our focus outward. Not just peace with others, but number four, peace to others. Peace to others. The footwear that was worn by Roman soldiers was not just made for standing. They were made for walking. These boots were made for walking. Would you just tell your neighbor, these boots were made for walking. Amen. Amen. And if you get a chance to see Sister Tara's boots and Sister Amber's boots, oh my gosh. Listen, this may not be Paul's primary point here, since he's talking about standing firm and having good footing. However, the implication, along with some of Christ's last words to His disciples, shows us that the gospel and the good news about having peace with God should not and must not stop with us. Amen? We are to stand firm in the peace that we have with God, but we're also to pass the peace along to others. What do you do when you have good news? Do you normally desire to tell it to others? Of course we do. We want to share any kind of good news. We get the word out, not because you have to, but because you're enthused about it. When something good happens to you, you can't wait to share it with the people that you care about. How about them scratch-offs? I didn't see any hands go up on them. Amen. How about if it's a raise or promotion? Absolutely. You want to share. You get excited about it and you want to share it in your joy. So when we share then the gospel of peace, however, it isn't just about us. It's about every human on this planet. It's about other people finding peace with God too. It's about your family finding peace with God. It's about your coworker finding peace with God. Look at the effect that we could have if we devoted ourselves to bringing just one person to the Lord each year. if we invested in someone's life and helped them find peace with God, and they learned to pass it on to others, the number of people then who come to know Jesus would be astounding. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, we find Jesus saying these words, "Go into all the world and preach the good news, the gospel of peace." The gospel, and that's what it is, the gospel of peace. The good news to all creation. And whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. So, as I close, so there is that peace with God. There's the peace of God, meaning within us. There's that peace with others, and then there's that peace to others. Look at someone and tell them, get your shoes on. And as I tell my little 6-year-old granddaughter, make sure they're on the right feet. Let's all stand together. She takes that step out the door, and I'm waiting on her, and I look down, and those shoes are going that way. So I say, "Up, you get in the car. We got to change them feet, change them shoes, put them on the." "Oh, Pawpaw, they're okay." "It's okay, Pawpaw. It's okay." "No," I said, "it's not. If you're riding with me, you're gonna have the shoes on the right feet, especially when you step out and that teacher is standing right there." You know. So, yeah. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Sweet Holy Spirit, we love you. We love you. We thank you today. Oh, Lord, there's so many people without hope. So many people have lost their peace, and they're needing peace again today. Lord, I ask you to do a work in our hearts. Begin something anew in our hearts, even to share that peace with others, to make some things right with one another. Don't let the sun go down without us making things right with those that we're in conflict with. Do your work in our lives, God. Lord, we want to be at peace with you, and we want to have your peace in our lives and at work, because as your peace is within us, Lord, you're going to do a work in us. You're going to convict us. You're going to show us, Lord, if we've gone the wrong path or we've stepped off and got on a side road and that we shouldn't be there, doing things that we shouldn't do that would be detriment to our spirit. So, Lord, I just ask, God, that you continue to work in our lives. Speak to our hearts. Do your work. While you're standing there with every eye closed, is there anybody in here, and I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you're needing peace in your life, would you just raise your hand? You need peace with the Lord? Anybody? Okay, thank you. Peace of the Lord, peace with others, some things going on in your family you need some peace about. Hallelujah. Okay, thank you. You can put your hands down. Lord, right now, Lord, I'm just going to pray for these, Lord, right now. You see those that are hurting, those that are disturbed in their spirit, man, Lord, that they need something to change. Not just a month from now, not a year from now, but, Lord, they're desiring for something to change today, begin to something new in their lives, to see change, to see peace come in the midst of that conflict. So, Lord, I'm asking you to do a work with every person that raised their hands today. Lord, I'm asking you to do a work in their lives. Begin something new today. You see what they're needing, God. If there's hurt, Lord, and disappointments, God, words have been spoken, things have been said, Lord, and actions done against them, Lord, to hurt them. God, I'm asking you to help them and to bring them into your peace, Lord. Let them feel your peace and know that you work all things to our good. Everything meant for bad, Lord, you turn it around for our good, and you go before us. We may not see you working, but we thank you that you're working on our behalf, because we're a child of the Most High God. And so we thank you. And you care about your children. Lord, as we go from this house today, I just speak blessings over this body. Do your work in us this week. Change us, Lord, our thinking, God. Oh, we praise you today. I thank you for the abundance of food that you've given us in the gym. And so, Lord, I just ask, God, that you just go with us and show us, Lord, for who we can bless others with. This would be a way to open that door, Lord, is to give them some food and groceries, Lord. You see what's needed. And Lord, if there's not a need today, Lord, I just ask God that you just bless everyone in this house today as they take some, Lord, for themselves, Lord. We praise you. All those that worked hard, God, in our food bank, I thank you, God, that we can partake of that. And you've given it to us because as we give it out, Lord, there's more to come. There's more waiting for us, God. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you. God bless you. Make sure you let all of our guests know how welcome they are today. We're glad they're here. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you.